Welcome to Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio, channel 869.
Want to know what to eat, where to go and who to know in Johannesburg and all around? Then join us on Soundbites every Saturday, brought to you by the Food Cop on Radio Today. Good afternoon, South Africa, and welcome to Soundbites with myself, Edward Chamberlain Bell, Barbara Gilman, and
Hi.
Laura McDermott. How
Hello.
Are you ladies doing?
Good,
Very
and
well.
You? Very well.
I can't complain. Well, whatever the weather is like in your side of the country, I hope it meets with your approval. I personally like cold and rainy weather, but I know that lots of people also like sunny summer sunshine skies.
Sure.
That's a bit of alliteration. What's your favorite kind of weather, Laura?
I like a bit of everything, because at the end of the day, that's what life's about, isn't it?
Mm.
So those wonderful days that you're talking about, the rainy and the cold for contemplation, for cuddling up with a nice book, all very good.
A bottle of wine.
A bottle of wine, yeah.
I love these champagne days. We're having the most glorious weather at the moment, and long may it last.
I would hope so, too. I find I prefer cold weather because it's very easy to keep warm. You can put an extra layer, an extra jersey. Mm-hmm. You can eat something. Whereas in summer, there's only so much you can take off. And you don't really feel like eating. You don't actually enjoy the food. So, and I know they always say never talk about the weather, but I'm always interested to know what people actually enjoy about the weather. One thing people are also interested to know about in South Africa is what are the basic things that they should do to be eating more healthily.
Okay.
So, Laura, we're going to put you on the spot, and you have to give us your top five. Maybe not the top five, but say the simplest five things, that lifestyle changes, that people can start making to their life today to live a healthier, better, more productive life. So you're on the spot. I can't call you Dr. Laura, but it had a nice ring to it, but we might get sued for that.
Right.
So Laura, your top five easiest lifestyle changes that we can all make.
Okay, well, the first one, Edward, as Granny and Mom always tells you, drink lots of water.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have minimum 8 glasses of water a day if you're an adult. And that's really important just to flush the system out, get the kidneys working properly, and just to lubricate ourselves. So,
Laura, how do you define a glass? A large glass, medium, how?
Shoot a glass.
250 mils.
Shoot a glass. 250 mils.
250
okay.
mils, yes.
Right.
So you're actually looking like drinking, the average adult be drinking about 2 to 3 liters of water a day.
Absolutely, yes. And it also depends on your exercise. So if you are exercising a lot, or if it's a hot day, like what Barbara prefers, then she's got to drink a little bit more water. Whereas in winter, we don't need quite as much. But people also forget that even though it's cold and they might not feel thirsty, they might still be dehydrated. It's a very important point.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to keep yourself hydrated. You've got to drink your water. It's good for everything, good for the skin, good for the cells, good for everything.
Actually, it's an interesting point that you mentioned now, is it's thirst. It's not an accurate indicator of being hydrated. So I often tell myself, if I'm thinking of what should I drink, and I tell myself I'm not really thirsty, I just tell myself, don't let that be your guide. Have a glass of water anyway. Because if you're thinking of eating or drinking something, you're probably thirsty.
No, you're 100% right. And sometimes when we're hungry, we're actually thirsty.
Yes.
So those signals get mixed up too.
So Laura, should one drink tap water as is? Ice cold water, hot water, does it matter?
Well, yeah, there's also been different bodies of thoughts around this. But at the end of the day, filtered water is best.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a good filtration system at home or ionized water. So, and if you've got really good borehole water, of course, that's ideal too.
Mm-hmm.
Borehole water is interesting. So I'm thinking about what about underground contaminants?
Mm.
How would you clean it or sterilize it before drinking, or don't you have to?
Well, that's a good point, especially up here on the reef where we've got this problem with mine acid drainage.
Mm.
And we don't know when that's going to reach our aquifers and when it's going to contaminate our water. So it is a very good point. And one of the simplest ways of actually cleaning your water is just you get one of these big clay pots.
Mm-hmm.
And what the clay does is that it absorbs all the nasties and you're left with really good clean water afterwards. If you think of the ancients,
mm-hmm.
they used to store their water
in clay pots. Mm-hmm.
And that is why they probably didn't know the science behind it, but somehow they actually worked out that this clay was really good.
And how long would you be able to keep a clay pot for?
For a very long time. I mean, if you've got a good clay pot and you seal it properly and you close it, that water will be viable for a very, very, very long time.
I didn't know that. What I did know is that in the good old days, what they used to do is they used to use whiskey to disinfect the water to prevent people from getting food poisoning. So that's probably the one stat that I'm going to remember the longest, but I'm going to put clay pots on too. good to know.
Where would one buy clay pots? I mean, for an emergency, you know, they have these doomsday preppers kind of thing where they store things. Do people store water today in clay pots?
Barbara, they do. You know, it also depends on where you stay and what your accessibility is to water. But in some of the rural communities, they still actually use clay pots to store their water in. And it's a very good way of actually storing water. So,
actually, going on from clay pots, I think one of the worst things that you could store watering is like buying this bottled water, because a lot of times the chemicals that leach from the plastic into the water, and I know I've got a bottle of plastic water that you're all looking at like I'm a hypocrite here, but it's true. I've got a bottle of plastic water. But the reason why we shouldn't drink it is because a lot of the times those chemicals that they make the plastic out of leach into the water, you drink it. And I suppose this is more of a concern for men than it is for women, is that those chemicals simulate or emulate female hormones, which is obviously the worst thing to having a man, but then also women from a health perspective in terms of hormonal cancers and disease, not a good thing either. So where would you tell us, how do we actually, in fact, let's just open the question up. Bottled water, how bottled healthy water. Is bottled water at the end of the day?
Particularly in the car, they say one shouldn't travel with bottled water in the car because of the heat. Is that correct?
No, that actually leaches out the chemicals more. Okay. But I mean, we sort of market it into this myth that bottled water is good for us, but is it?
Well, at the end of the day, what you're saying about the hormones, it's the phytoestrogens that you're talking about, which are the sort of chemical estrogens, so to speak. And yes, some of the plastic bottles actually have them in. So the thinner, the more sort of crumply those plastic bottles are, the worse they are for you. Mm-hmm. I know that some manufacturers have become a little bit more, they've latched onto this and they've changed their bottles to not allow these things to leach through. But at the end of the day, we just don't know. Mm. And also, you don't know how long the water has been standing in those bottles, what the transportation was like. They could have been stuck on some truck from Harrismith all the way to Johannesburg and, you know, been sitting in the sun for 5 hours. So we just don't know. So at the end of the day, I think a lot of it is marketing. I think that especially and some of these big corporations have just added water to their stable of drinks as a money spinner at the end of the day. So they're not necessarily healthy.
Mm-hmm. Just a marketing ploy.
Absolutely.
I often find is you look at a lot of these flavored and carbonated waters are on the market. And I just tell myself, basically, you're buying a fizzy cool drink without the coloring, but that doesn't mean that you're not buying all the chemicals and the preservatives and the things that go into that. Are those things healthier from your perspective, or am I on the right track thinking avoid like the plague?
Absolutely. And I'm not going to mention the name of the specific water, but it has
been touted.
It's got added vitamins and minerals and things like that.
Now I'm moving into a whole different subject. Vitamin water.
Yes. Now, that basically has 1 teaspoon of sugar less than our favorite cola beverage.
Okay.
So we are not drinking anything healthy there. It's just a very clever name.
And for our listeners who don't know how much sugar they're getting in their favorite cola beverage, how much sugar is there in, say, for example, a can of Fizzy Pop?
Well, in one can, you're looking about between 3 to 5 teaspoons of sugar, which is horrendous, and a lot of people drink a few of those in a day.
Well, what scares me is, like, we went to the movies the other day, and I was looking at those 500 mils, sometimes it's a 1 liter cardboard cool drink, and I'm thinking, if you had any idea, and it's not always adults, it's children, because that's actually what horrifies me the most. It's not the parents that are doing that to themselves, but I think you've got no right to allow your 5-year-old or your 10-year-old to drink 1 liter of cool drink. In fact, when you consider the sugar, 5 teaspoons of sugar on a, say for example, a 10-year-old is quite horrific in terms of that roller coaster of the sugar rush. But now you can imagine you're drinking a liter of Coca-Cola or something along those lines, and it's just going to send your sugar levels up and just don't come down until you're ready for insulin.
And Laura, Talking about sparkling water and still water, is it true about sparkling water causing problems with bones and density and that kind of thing?
No, not necessarily. Not. You know, it also depends on the type of carbonation they use. Mm-hmm. But your spritzer type of waters mm-hmm. are actually quite good for you because okay. they've got various minerals in them which actually help the body.
Okay.
When you say spritzer waters, is that a brand or is that a...
No, it's just, it's more sort of a, it's not totally carbonated. It's mm. like a natural...
Lightly carbonated. Oh, okay. Yeah, naturally carbonated.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a healthy carbonate.
It is.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. I suppose at the end of the day, the most important thing here is people actually need to start drinking more water.
More water.
Correct.
But also be... What's what I'm looking for now?
Aware.
Yeah, being aware, taking responsibility. Drink water, drink tap water, you would recommend tap water over bottled water, but then also filter it before you drink it so you get the full benefits. And one last question. In fact, this will take us on to our next
topic.
Before
we move into our next topic, yes.
A lot of times people think that cutting out their fizzy beverages, especially the ones that are like loaded with sugar, that it's a healthier choice to start drinking fruit juice. But if I'm not mistaken, a fruit juice has got just as much sugar as your normal canned cool drink.
100%. And Barbara and I were talking about this in that when you are making fruit juices in the morning, or if you're making vegetable juices, one of the big advantages of eating a whole fruit versus fruit juice is that that whole fruit prevents that sugar from being absorbed too quickly because it's very high in fiber. So when you are putting your fruit through one of those juices, yes. you're actually extracting the fiber and the bulk of that fruit out of it, and you're left with concentrated fruit juice, which is actually very high in sugar. So you're taking out
the good part,
which actually delays that whole sugar spike that you were talking about, Edward. So
and
you're
actually
right.
We need that fiber for all the other reasons.
Indeed. Chris needs that fiber.
Chris needs that fiber, who we had on the show a while ago talking about why he doesn't enjoy eating healthier foods. And it turns out fiber is the goodness that we actually need to cleanse ourselves internally. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
There are loads of ways to save this winter. Get 2.5 kilograms of snowflake cake wheat flour for only $16.99. You save R3. 2 kilogram Omo Auto Flexibag washing powder or 750ml Omo concentrated liquid is only $44.99. Buy any 2 Danone 6x100g smooth yogurts or any 2 6x100 Yo jelly yogurt for only R19. 18 P&P no name extra large eggs on $19.99. And 18 P&P 2-ply toilet tissue is R68. You save R11.99. And you can save even more. Visit the kiosk and print your Smart Chopper vouchers. Only at Pick n Pay. Always there for you. Prices are valid from the 22nd to the 25th of August and prices apply to Gauteng stores.
Hello, I'm Neil Starr. Please tune in to That Gramophone Show on Sundays at 7 p.m. for some real music nostalgia, when I'll be taking you on a trip down memory lane with music sourced exclusively of 78-speed shellac records. My music will cover anything from 1910 to the late 1950s. Remember, it's That Gramophone Show on Sundays at 7 p.m. with me, your host, Neil Starr.
This is Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio Channel 869.
Welcome back to Soundbites with myself, Edward Chamberlain-Bell, Barbara Gilman and Laura McDermott, discussing how we can actually make healthier changes to our lifestyle just to get ourselves moving. And Laura, I recall a while ago you advising us you don't have to do big changes, you just have to make the start somewhere.
Absolutely. You know, it's not about going out and throwing away what you have in your cupboard. It's about knowing where you can eat the things that you have in your cupboard, and about food combinations as well, because some of those foods that you have in your cupboard are not necessarily bad. They might be very good if you actually combine them with something else.
Give us an example then.
So let's say, for example, you want to have a nice breakfast, a cooked breakfast, mm-hmm. and you have some eggs, and you're not quite sure what to have with them, go and haul out your little tin of baked beans out of the mm-hmm. cupboard, because your baked beans are exceptionally low GI and very good, once again, at keeping your blood sugar stable.
Yes.
So, you know, those are the kind of things that you can actually add to your food to enhance it and make it better. So,
I love that for breakfast, baked beans on toast with, I would love to also say boiled egg or poached egg, because sometimes I fry them up instead. But you know what? I'm quite fanatical about it. I really do enjoy eating beans, all the beans, pulses, and lentils. I don't like the tomato sauce that beans can be.
I was going to say yes.
Do you agree? I just think that there's probably a lot more sugar. Exactly.
It's
I just think
sweet.
It is. So I just think I don't mind opening a ton of baked beans, which I think is just a soya bean anyway. Rinse it underneath the water.
That's it.
And then make your own sauce
That's
if you really
right.
felt
100%.
You wanted.
100%. You're quite right.
Or the butter beans on its own. Yeah. Actually, how could one flavor it up a little bit more? How would you suggest one flavors
butter
beans?
Well, actually, we're going to turn the tables on Barbara. How would you flavor up butter beans at home?
Well, possibly with onions,
yes.
a bit of garlic, fresh herbs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what Laura might have better ideas, because you are the expert.
Well, add a bit of fresh tomato.
Tomato.
And
okay.
cook it a little bit, because once you cook the tomato, it actually releases lycopene, okay. which is a very, very good antioxidant.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting your antioxidants. As you say, you can add a bit of garlic, mm-hmm. a bit of
herbs.
Even chili.
Chili.
You know, to zhuzh it up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got rosemary in mm-hmm. your garden, a bit
okay.
of rosemary. So
Lovely.
This goes on.
Actually, when you think about it, beans have got such a neutral, I don't want to say bland, they've got like a neutral taste. You could add virtually anything to it.
It's a total protein, isn't it?
It is.
Well, although it's a carbohydrate.
It is a protein, but it's not necessarily one of the best protein
okay.
sources.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. So, you know, you've
what
got...
What would be the best protein source apart from eggs or meat?
Well, it all depends whether you're vegetarian.
Thanks for answering the question and answer, don't
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
What
move
is
on,
the best
move
protein
on. The best protein source.
Well, it depends on whether you're a vegan or vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Or if you are eating meat, I still believe that if you get a good lean piece of organic meat, mm-hmm. it's still one of your best sources of protein.
Okay.
But then if you are looking at your grains, you know, oats are one of the highest protein-containing cereals. So they've got 16 grams to 100 grams of protein. So it's a very complete cereal. And then also things like quinoa.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys
It's the new thing, yes, apparently.
Indeed.
Very
That's
good.
It's also very high in amino
and how
acids.
Does one cook it? Is it like couscous?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It actually takes a bit longer to cook than couscous, because it's more whole, whereas mm-hmm. couscous has been processed.
Mm.
So the quinoa, you boil it in a little bit of salted water for probably about 30 to 35 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and you actually eat it like rice. So you can eat it with something else or as on its own. What's beautiful is to add it to minestrone soups in winter.
Okay.
It actually zhuzhes it up, adds a bit of bulk, and it really is good. It gives a very, very nice taste.
It's actually a nice idea, Asda, because I've found with a lot of soups, I don't like using pasta. I don't like using refined carbohydrates generally, so if you can use something like quinoa, couscous, it's a nice healthy alternative, and also it's high in protein.
Mm. Absolutely.
And at one point or another, but I wouldn't recommend this to any of our listeners, is to thicken up a soup, the only thing that I could actually find was oats. So I threw the oats in. It didn't come out that bad.
No, but that's not bad, because if you dilute it with a bit of water, apparently it does make a very nice gravy, and you add the soup to it, and it does thicken it up.
Exactly, and it also absorbed the flavors, but it just had this very watery soup, and I thought, how do I thicken it up and bulk it
that's
up a
clever.
Bit?
Yes.
I thought so.
Yes.
But I'm very good when it comes to culinary emergencies. Exactly.
And things like cornstarch and Maizena, are they good to thicken up?
Well, once again, you know, it's processed.
Mm-hmm.
Processed corn flour.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like using white flour. There's no real difference between the two.
It's basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I always find that the best way to actually choose your food is go back as close to the original source as possible. So don't eat the apple pie that you're buying in a supermarket. Mm-hmm. Buy the apple. Eat the apple, rather. And a classic example of that would be like bread. A lot of times people think, we call it the staff of life, the foundation of life. Everybody breaks bread and all that. But bread has actually been so refined that basically it resembles nothing of the source that it came from.
Exactly.
And all these problems, actually, gluten intolerance is quite a big thing. I always read about people having, well, we have digestive problems. Everybody tells us about what is wrong. Mm. And the first thing I ask them is like, what exactly are you eating? Because at the end of the day, something going into your body is not agreeing with you. So if that means you've got to cut out the junk food, or you have to cut out the cool drinks or the sweets, whatever the choice is, you've got to listen to your body and get it out. So what would you advise of people who do actually find that possibly gluten intolerant, because it's not really an allergy, it's an intolerance.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, just for those listeners out there that don't know what gluten is, it is the sticky storage protein that is found in most grains. So in things like your wheat, in your barley, there's some found in oats as well, in rye, in spelt. So it is quite prolific, but there are the gluten varies depending on the type of grain. So the worst of the glutens is found in wheat protein. The problem is the way that we actually process these grains. So the wheat flour that we use in this day and age is way too processed. It gets milled to this fine white powder, which is basically unrecognizable to its original source. So the further away a food gets from its original state, the worse it is for you. So in order to prevent that gluten problem, Edward, you can actually mill your own flour. You can go and buy your wheat, and you can stone mill it at home. They've got these beautiful millers.
Old-fashioned forms that you see.
And you've got to consume it in 72 hours. And in that way, you can make sure that you're not consuming too much gluten, because the type of gluten that you're getting in there, your body can actually deal with. It's a quantity issue. It's a quality and a quantity issue. We just eat too much gluten. You know, if you think about it, most people have some form of gluten for breakfast, for lunch, and then for supper, and our bodies just don't have the time to eliminate those glutens.
I actually find, as you look at so many cereals in the market, especially, and I think you told me this as well, you look at, I do remember things, because you make your own muesli that you sell at Fourways Farmers Market, and I remember we both agreed that the one thing that we, I kind of, you're going to disagree with me here as well, I remember reading one of your newsletters, you took a little stab at people that don't like carbohydrates and they'd like to eat high protein diets, which is definitely myself. And I was looking at your muesli's that you're actually making. So sometimes are you anti-carbohydrates? It's a question of the quality, and also again, like you mentioned, the quality and the quantity. And I remember we were both chatting about this, and the one thing we both disagreed with, we both agreed with each other on, was you look at some of these commercial cereals that people are selling or feeding towards their children, and they're so over-refined and over-colored and over-processed, and then we wonder why kids are having
ADD, ADHD, and things like that.
And ABCs and BCEs and all these things. Throughout, you know. And it's the same thing for children. It's like if you're not eating healthily yourself, you can't set an example
to the children.
And then when you look at children that throw tantrums for highly processed food, you've got to look at the parents and think, well, the problem didn't start with the children, the problem started with the parents.
So correct.
Anyhow, in a long-winded way, what I'm trying to make is, you're not anti-carbohydrates because you actually make your own muesli. So tell me, because I was listening to you now talk about like grinding my own spelts and belts, and I was like,
that's
interest very quickly, but you're doing it yourself, so give us the ins and outs, what we should be looking for.
Well, you're quite right, Edward. I'm not anti carbohydrates or high protein diets. What I'm saying is that you've got to combine the two. And once again, you can have protein until it comes out your ears, but if it's a bad quality protein, you're actually doing yourself a disservice. So it's about good quality carbohydrates, good quality protein.
Balance.
So it's about balance. And carbohydrates, once again, if you look at carbohydrates, low GI carbs, low processed grains, because that's really important when it comes to your breakfast cereals, is not to buy those highly processed things, because that goes right through your system, and before you know it, you've got these insulin spikes, and you've been diagnosed with insulin resistance and pre-diabetes and all of that kind of thing. So it really is about the quality of the food, and you've got to be mindful of the type of food that you buy.
I actually find a lot of people aren't mindful about what they actually put into their mouth. They'll eat anything.
Anything quick and convenient.
Do you find the same, Barbara?
Absolutely, absolutely. So could Laura tell us a quick basic muesli recipe?
No, not. She can't because she makes
well, her okay. I was just going to say, but you can go buy my muesli.
But basically, it's the oats and the dates and coconut and that kind of thing.
Well,
where do
I
we buy your muesli?
Just to answer your question, Barbara, is I've got mueslis, which the base of which are oats and barley. Mm-hmm. And then there's sunflower seeds, raisins and almonds.
Right.
But then I've got a beautiful granola, which is actually very popular. Mm-hmm. And the way I sweeten it is with raw honey that I actually get straight from the beekeeper. Mm-hmm. So there's absolutely no sugar in there. There's no additives. There aren't any preservatives. So honey is a natural preservative anyway. Mm-hmm. And all of these are really good for you. And that'll bulk up with your seeds, which actually gives you omega fats in the morning as well, which are very important for you.
So a bowl of your muesli is wonderful to start the day.
It is. And you can actually buy it through health shops, most of the health shops in and around Joburg, as well as a few select ones in Cape Town. And then also some of the spas have jumped onto the bandwagon.
Oh, nice one.
Mm. Absolutely.
They can also buy it from you online.
They can buy from me. So if they go on to All About Health, they can actually pop me an email and then we can organize that.
Okay. So thank when you. You say that you, well, not you, but when you said we could be making our own
Mueslis
and grains and breads and grind it ourselves. You really do walk the walk and talk the talk.
Yes.
So, I mean, you do it. It's possible.
Absolutely.
So we can do it ourselves, but I mean, you've literally got to made a mini empire out of this.
Well, I'm busy building the empire, Edward.
With the house.
Well, it's coming. What other, as a matter of interest, what other flavors or variants have you got in your muesli range?
Well, funny you should ask that, Edward. I've actually just launched two new products which are known as functional foods. And what they are is that they enhance your breakfasts or your soups or your stews or anything like that. And in fact, Barbara, to go back to your previous question about thickening soups and stews, this would be perfect for that. So these are mulled, various mulled nuts, including walnuts, which are your most healthy nuts, and then almonds. Flax seeds forms the base of these. And then I add certain nutraceuticals. So the ones are cardio range, which includes something called coenzyme Q10, which is a fantastic antioxidant for people who have cardiac problems. And the other one is a digestive and immune care range, which contains probiotics and something called L-glutamine, which is actually very good for healing the gut if you've got things like leaky gut syndrome or if you've got any other digestive disturbances. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So these are the two new additions that I've added that one can actually expand your cupboard with and add them to everything.
Excellent. I love talking to you because when I...
We learn so much.
It's very easy for myself. Because I mean, the most exciting thing that I do is I've got a juicer at home. So I literally like to juice my vegetables. I don't like to juice my fruit, but I think, I mean, I can't choose to eat like 16 carrots in a day, or I certainly don't want to try eating a whole cabbage, but I can juice it down it. No, really, it's like cooked cabbage and raw cabbage. I just can't handle it.
Mm.
And I found, this is actually what got me onto the path of eating a little bit more wisely, was I realized I had to get more vitamins into my system. And I found that the healthiest way, the quickest way, is to obviously eat more vegetables. And obviously fruit is easier. But I found vegetables, if I juice them, I could down like six carrots at a time. Not every day, all day. And then also you look at your other very healthy vegetables, like your cabbages and your broccolis, which are theoretically the healthiest vegetables that you can eat. I found if I juice them, I could down them a lot faster. And I just found, just like spurred and all these other things, I had more energy, I was healthier, my skin looked better, my immune system was working more effectively, for want of a better word. And then I found I could actually substitute drinking like fizzy cool drinks. I could actually go back to drinking a fresh vegetable juice. But it comes back to that old thing that we were saying earlier, is also watch your sugar levels. So it's a question of watching the sugar levels. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, and you can correct me if I'm right or wrong, vegetable juice has probably got just as much or pretty close to the sugar levels as fruit juice, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not a question of being able to say, I'm going to drink a liter of carrot juice and thinking it's doing good for me. You're getting all that beta carotene, but you're also getting a lot of sugar. So you've got to be judicious about it.
Absolutely, and it also depends on the type of vegetable, because I mean, things like your carrots are very high in sugar.
Sure.
So as long as you're adding other vegetables to that, your green leafy vegetables.
Ginger or something?
Absolutely. Mm. You can add ginger to enhance the flavour. Celery is a very good one. Parsley is a fantastic one. And then, of course, your spinaches, your broccolis and that kind of thing. If you're adding that to your carrots, then it's not too bad.
Laura, can I ask you, can one have too many vegetables per day, or is there no such thing? Can one eat? Sometimes, you know, you only want to have, say, carrots and gem squash or whatever. But if you eat more, would it be bad for you to eat a lot? What do you define?
I can imagine lots of children are listening to this answer, so be careful.
Exactly.
That's a great question.
No, but can one eat too many vegetables?
No, there's no such thing.
So you can eat.
In my opinion, vegetables are phenomenal.
Okay.
And if you're craving a specific vegetable, go and eat it, because there's something that your body might be needing. Okay. Yeah.
I'll ask you the same question about fruit. Can you eat too much fruit?
Yes, you can.
Oh, you can. Because it's very fattening, isn't it?
The fruit itself is not fattening. Once again, it's about portion control. Mm-hmm. It depends on the type of fruit. There are certain fruits that are very high in sugar. So, for instance, bananas are one of the highest sugar fruits.
Really?
And people don't realize this. These are the riper the banana, the higher the sugar content. So then, yes, watermelons, all your melons are very high in sugar. And then, of course, things like your grapes are exceptionally high in sugar. So if you are leaning towards being a little bit overweight, or if you've got insulin resistance, I would say you've got to watch your fruit intake.
Okay.
And it's not about eating as much fruit as you can consume, because that might tip you over into pre-diabetes or one of those things.
Right. Okay.
What would you say is the healthiest fruit for the average person to eat on
probably
a regular basis?
Apples, I suppose.
I would answer that and say no, because apples got a lot of pesticides sprayed all over them. You probably told me this, or did I just thumbsuck that? But apples are actually one of the unhealthiest fruits because of all the all the chemicals and the insect repellents that they throw on it. But it's like there's got to be something. It's like apples are so easy to grab. So I'm thinking, what would be the healthiest fruit that everybody can access all year round?
Probably bananas also, because everybody on their way to work grabs a banana.
But now bananas are convenient, but
it's about seasonality once again, because bananas don't grow throughout the year. So it's about eating whatever fruit is seasonal. And then also what I really think is fantastic are berries. So whatever berries might be in season at the time, whether it be strawberries, blueberries, Cape gooseberries, any of those, the combination of those is fantastic, because they really, really are rich in phytochemicals and antioxidants. And if you can eat berries, they are very, very good for you. Cherries, you know, November, December, come cherry time, and we've got all the cherries growing down in Fariesburg. It is really a treat, you know. So it once again boils down to what fruit you can get. And I think that you and I were also discussing, Barbara, the benefits of coconut.
That's right.
Now, coconut is one of your complete fruits. It literally, you can live off a coconut. If I gave you one fruit to say that will keep you alive for the rest of your life, it's a coconut.
And that's got everything in
it. It's got everything that you need in it. So it's actually quite phenomenal.
Okay,
so if one cooked with it, should we use the light coconut or the proper coconut in the tins? What is better, light?
Well, you've got two components, and this is where people also get confused, because you get the coconut water, which is almost like blood in constituency, believe it or not. So if you drink that, it's actually very good for your plasma in your blood, very, very healthy for you. Your coconut milk is basically the white flesh, the soft white flesh, which has been juiced. And that's where the white milk comes from. That's also very healthy. Now, when you talk about light coconut milk or, you know, non-light coconut milk,
cream.
At the end of the day, it's a natural product which contains what we call medium-chain fatty acids. So unlike your fats from animals, which are saturated fats, these aren't saturated.
Oh,
so they are not bad for cholesterol, because once again, these were one of the myths many years ago that coconuts actually gave you cholesterol. Coconuts are actually extremely healthy for you, and very, very good, and they've got great antibacterial properties, antiviral properties, and all of those wonderful things.
And they're quite soothing, I find, especially the coconut water.
Lovely.
If you're thirsty, if you need something to drink, it's packed apparently as electrolytes. It's refreshing.
It is.
But it's lovely to add to stews and curries, and that just
lovely.
Makes it so. Just one thing, Laura, please, can you tell us about dates?
Yes.
Are they very good for you or very bad?
Actually, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
And then Laura can tell us about her dating life.
Dating life, okay.
Go big. No bigger. bigger. Come one, come all to the grandest casual day of all. It's all about big ties, big glasses, big hair, and a big contribution towards supporting the activities of persons with disabilities. So wear a sticker or 10 and join us on Friday the 6th of September. Get your stickers for only 10 Rand each from participating beneficiaries or via casualday.co.za. And remember, remember, Friday the 6th of September is Casual Day.
Do you want to keep up to date with what's happening with Radio Today, Johannesburg? Have you always felt the urge to write on someone's wall but never quite dared? Now you can, and more, on Facebook. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/radiotodayjhb or on Twitter at Radio Today. That's the sign at Radio numeral 2 Day. Also follow our blog at radiotodayjohannesburg.blogspot.com. Radio Today, radio that delivers. This is Radio Today, the radio station that delivers.
And we are back. You're listening to Soundbites with myself, Laura McDermott. I'm not Laura McDermott. You're listening to Soundbites with me, Edward Chamberlain Bell. We've got Laura McDermott joining us, and we've got Barbara Gilman.
Hi.
Ladies, thanks so much for taking the time to come out to us. And I believe, Laura, you're just asking... Sorry, Laura, you Barbara. Were just about to answer Barbara about the health benefits of dates. Are they good for us, or are they very high in sugar?
They are very high in sugar, but they are very good for us as well. So, for instance, if you are going to have dates for breakfast, mm-hmm. the big secret behind that is to counteract that sweetness and the higher GI value with something low GI.
Okay.
So have your dates mm-hmm. with Bulgarian yogurt, full cream Bulgarian yogurt, and you've actually solved that problem.
The nice thing, dates are so sweet, it's you don't yucky. Even need to urge... honey. I'm just thinking maybe add some honey, but dates are sweet enough. You don't. That's actually sounding like quite a good breakfast to me. Dates and honey.
Dates and honey.
Oh, sorry.
And yogurt.
No,
dates
sorry.
And
I'm
yogurt.
Automatically looking for the unhealthiest version possible.
With a dollop of
dates with
fresh
yogurt.
Blueberries. And
absolutely.
That would be an ideal breakfast.
And you can add your dates to your stews as well, your Moroccan stews, to add a bit of sweetness.
I love those tangini sort of dishes.
Absolutely.
Laura, you're talking about the fresh dates, not the block dates.
Yes, now I'm talking about
block dates are very sweet and very concentrated.
Well, it's like any dried fruit, which is very high in sugar.
Right.
So your fresh dates are very good because they're also very high in fiber.
Okay.
And another place where you can use your dates, you being vegetarian, is when you make your own almond milk, you can add a date the night before
to sweeten
it up, and it's quite delicious.
Brilliant. That's actually a nice idea.
Lovely.
What is your... favorite breakfast or your most frequent breakfast that you have? Not necessarily the healthiest one, but the one that you find most convenient in the mornings.
The one that I find most convenient, I actually have a green protein shake in the mornings. And then I'll obviously also have my muesli, not every morning, but the green protein shake I have every morning because it's quick and it's easy. And I add either soya milk to it or rice milk or almond milk, which it's... totally delicious with, and it's very quick and very convenient.
What green smoothie basis? Protein? Is that like pre-made or is it something you make yourself?
It's actually pre-made, yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's unfortunately, yes, you buy it in health shops.
From your shop.
From the shop that I practice from.
Right.
But you can actually buy it. It's unfortunately it's an imported thing. Mm. But they take all the green vegetables and they dehydrate them. Mm. And then they mold them into quite a fine powder. But they're very, very rich in amino acids.
Mm.
So it's actually giving you all the amino acids that you need, especially as a vegan, where you need the complete range of amino acids, Barbara. So it is very healthy for you. It tastes a little bit like horse food, so you've got to get used to the taste.
Okay, conversation over. I was just about to ask you, what does it taste? Barbara, what is your favorite breakfast?
Well, I think a souffle omelette is very nice.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. Do you make that yourself?
Yes.
I know your food.
Yes.
How on earth do you find the time between running your own public presentation company to actually make a souffle omelette?
It's, you know, you just take that 5 minutes extra. That's basically all it is. Just to aerate. You know, you don't... It's an amazing. Of course, you beat up your eggs, whatever, and whisk them up, and you just basically put, you know, it's the whisking process. You add your cheese, which I know is not the healthiest, but cheese, salt and pepper, a little bit of basil, And bake it.
How do you bake it?
Bake it.
Okay, so tell us, how do you make it? I would imagine you're separating the yolks
separate the egg whites. That's right.
Do you use an egg whisk or an electric whisk?
No, an egg whisk. An old-fashioned egg whisk.
I would not have the patience. Salt and pepper.
Yeah, look, it does take time. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, so then you whisk up the eggs on the one side.
You fold in, you whisk up your whites. Mm. You fold them in very gently. And gradually add in your cheese, grated cheese, the very best cheddar, salt and pepper, a bit of basil or rosemary, put them in a souffle dish and just put it, basically it's a souffle,
but it's an omelette,
and then you bake it for about 20 minutes. And you know, souffles are very temperamental, you have to eat them immediately. Souffle omelette. What is your very best?
I'm not going to lie. My breakfast is actually a cup of coffee. Oh. And please don't slaughter me. It's even a cup of
freshly percolated coffee.
Not instant coffee.
I don't have...
No,
actually, it's my favorite. I really do actually enjoy... I don't mind mentioning a brand if I enjoy it. I really do enjoy Nescafe. And there's a lot of restaurants that you go to that sell freshly percolated coffee. Mm. I love going to Master Antonio for an Americano coffee. But I just find that when I wake up in the mornings, I literally have to throw myself out of bed. And normally I go to gym anyway, so you can't really teach yoga on a full stomach. So I find a cup of coffee gets me going. But even on the days when I'm not teaching, which sometimes happens quite often, if I'm not teaching yoga and I'm taking a break, I still find, and this is my philosophy towards food, we've always been told breakfast is the most important meal of the day, so eat as quickly as you get up. And I just find looking at my metabolism, I can't say the word properly, if I look at my metabolism, I don't actually get hungry until midday. So it's not as I'm starving myself to lose weight, because I know that's the worst thing that you can do. But my philosophy is, if you're hungry, eat. If you're not hungry, don't eat. So what I normally do is I push my breakfast back to 10 o'clock. And if I get into the office around about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, I'll have a few pieces of fruit, and then I'll migrate onto
a yogurt or something.
Mm. And then I build myself up and towards 4 o'clock when I'll probably have lunch. And then I don't have a very big evening meal. I just think, eat when you're hungry, but otherwise you're just eating, and like all these nasties start happening
tempting.
To us.
Mm.
The other thing that I find is with meal planning, if I can begin the day with as many fluids as possible, so what I'd normally do is first thing when I wake up, I run and turn the kettle on. I have a glass of water, 250 mils of water, and then I might have a juice just to get my sugar levels up as healthily as possible. But I'm not talking about a big jar of juice, just a small glass, and then coffee. But if I had to forfeit anything, I'd go water into coffee, end of story. Mm-hmm. So I know it's not the healthiest, but at least I'm being honest. And I think I make up for it by eating healthily along during
and
the course
gymming.
Of the day.
And gymming. Laura, is it true they say you should breakfast like a king, eat lunch like a queen, and then supper like a pauper? Is that true?
Well, like Edward says, because I'm actually exactly like him. Mm. I only get hungry at about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. So it also depends on the type of person you are and your metabolism and how hungry you are.
Okay.
But yes, I think that if you are eating your main meal, it should be around midday or at least at lunchtime so that it gives your body time to sort of break it down and utilize it. And then we should have a light supper.
Whatever your supper is, it should be a light supper
that's easily digestible. Otherwise, you're going to have nightmares.
Sure. Well, that it makes sense.
Okay, can I interrupt you there? Is that a myth or are you being serious?
No, it is actually very serious.
Because that sounds like something my mother used to tell me.
No, but it's true. If you are eating very heavy foods,
heavy
very oily,
and
wines, you actually do get nightmares from it.
I honestly thought that was a myth. I can understand maybe for digestion, you don't want to have your stomach working overtime, especially through midnight, because that will disturb your sleep. And I look at a lot of friends of mine who are self-proclaimed insomniacs, maybe not genuine insomniacs. You look at what they had to eat for supper, what they say they had to eat, and I think, you know what you did? You should actually have had the bulk of your meals during the day, like Barbara says, eat like a queen at lunchtime.
Yes.
And then eat like a pauper, a light little snack.
Or a nice salad, or something, you know, a yogurt or whatever, because you do feel better. You don't want to go to bed bloated.
I actually find the best thing for supper is having a small salad and a little bit of protein, and maybe what I really do enjoy is olive oil. So I'm quite happy to make a gelatin of myself, having lots of olive oil in a salad dressing. Sort of justify to myself, because olive oil is really good for your skin.
It is.
And it's not a saturated fat, if I'm not mistaken.
Lots of olives and a bit of feta cheese. I mean, how wrong can one go with that?
Exactly.
Am I right? Yeah.
I always find is when it comes to choosing fats, okay, I love butter, but I find when it comes to choosing fats, if it's a liquid fat at room temperature, it's healthy for your body. If it is a solid block of fat like margarine or butter,
that's disgusting.
By the time it hits your body, it's going to set and like clogs up everything. So I think I'm going to compensate for having less butter by having lots of olive oil. And I found that to me is just like a win-win situation.
Then we come back. Sorry, Laura. Then we come back to the butter margarine.
And stay away from margarine.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you agree.
Margarine is liquid plastic. Yes. That's all it is.
It never dissolves.
No. Well, what they do is they've got to heat this fat at a very high temperature in order to create that consistency of margarine. So it basically breaks down the bonds between the compounds, and it actually makes it into something that is unrecognizable in the human system. So our bodies do not recognize margarine at all. Whereas butter, at least, is more edible from that perspective. But going back to that, I don't know if you've heard of ghee.
Yes.
Ghee
the Indian
alternative. Yes, it's actually very healthy for
you. Oh, is it good?
And it's basically clarified butter. So you're taking out the solids from the butter and you're using the clarified part. And it is actually very good to cook with it. And to put it on to sandwiches and things like that, if you really have to have butter, it is one of your better alternatives.
I was actually wondering, why is ghee a healthy alternative to butter?
Yeah.
At least now
amazing.
I know.
Yeah, amazing.
I've always looked at that butter margarine debate, and I've read all the articles, not all of them, certainly not as many as what Laura has, but I look at all of them. My standard response has always been, I don't care what the scientists tell me, I love the taste of butter.
Butter, of course.
Conversation over as far as I'm concerned.
But you can taste, you absolutely, something spread with margarine is disgusting.
But yeah, exactly. It like sticks to your palate. It's like you never actually get it down again as the butter melts.
That's right.
And I find even with cooking, if you cook, just say for example, pastries or cake or something, or if you're frying fish or chicken in butter, it's got a flavor, it's got a depth to it. Whereas yet margarine, I'm sorry, just is nasty. And I know that's not the most succinct way of saying it, but it really is just nasty.
Is. You can even taste it in cakes, in biscuits. Yeah. Butter as against margarine. You could pick it up in 2 minutes.
But you know, if you want to put something on your bread, you can
olive
also
oil.
Olive oil, but you can also make tahini at home, which is so easy, where you get your sesame seeds, you lightly roast them, mix it with a good quality oil, and you've got tahini. And it literally takes you less than 10 minutes to do.
That's instant.
It's instant.
Literally.
Yes,
absolutely.
I love hummus as well. Tahini.
Love
tahina
it.
And
oh, sorry, I meant tahini, wasn't it? Yes, because hummus.
No, you said you said tahina or tahini.
Yes.
And then Barbara said hummus. But those two, very Mediterranean, very
we're
healthy.
We're coming back to the Mediterranean food.
Exactly.
Indeed.
Oh, we had, it was a guest you brought into show a while ago.
From
what was her name? No, not from Stir. It was from La Constantina or something
La
like that.
La Fiorentina. La Fiorentina.
Yes. And she was saying how everything goes back towards the Mediterranean diet.
That's right.
But then I'm pretty sure it's like when you look at that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, the Greeks might argue everything goes back to their diet. And the Chinese and said it all goes back to their diet. We're very lucky nowadays in that we have got such a wide selection of cuisines that we can choose from. But now the big thing is also finding ways that we can actually make them healthier. It's like which ones work, which ones don't work. I think we're having such an interesting discussion today, talking about health, eating foods that we enjoy, but then also finding foods that are enjoyable and healthy at the same time. So we've got Barbara, who I know enjoys her cooking and doesn't scrimp on anything.
Nothing.
At the same time, we've got Laura here telling us which are the healthier choices and which aren't the healthier choices. But now this is going to bring me to my next point, because I mean, okay, I don't want to say fitness instructor because it always sounds demeaning. I'm actually a yoga Pilates instructor. And the one thing that I remember when we had Laura on our show, in fact, I think it was the first show, Laura, I asked you your best advice to share with listeners. And ironically enough, despite being a nutritionist, your best advice was to exercise. Get the body moving, get the circulation going. And I thought, a lot of times when people come into the show, they obviously punt their industry or they punt their brand. So I thought, I'm going to take this very objective advice. But now I'm going to put you on the spot. What exercise do you do?
I actually do a cross-training type of exercise because I enjoy exercise. So for me, it's not a bane. So yes, I do go to gym when I don't have time to get out and do whatever I need to do. But I enjoy cycling. I enjoy horse riding, although I don't get to do it as often as what I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy walking. You know, so I just enjoy the thrill of feeling my body moving.
Mm-hmm.
And yoga as well.
Oh, yes, you also do yoga.
Yeah, I do yoga.
I love your advice about walking because I find a lot of people make an excuse not
they
to exercise.
Got time.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, wherever you are, there's a pavement, ideally there's a park. Put on a pair of tackies and walk around the block because 10 minutes... of no exercise, 10 minutes of doing some exercise is
better than
10 minutes of not doing anything. And once you start exercising, your body starts getting acclimatized towards it, you actually find that you can
endorphins.
Do more.
Laura, is it true 10,000 steps a day or more? Should we walk around with our pedometers, which I do?
Well, you don't have to. You know, at the end of the day, it's also about feeling that your heart rate has gone up a little bit. So as long as you still feeling comfortable and you're able to chat to your neighbor or
walk
your dog,
at the
or
same time,
absolutely.
Yes.
But it depends on what goal you're trying to achieve. You know, if you want to train for something, then obviously you
just
have to do a
fit.
Bit more.
Just walking.
Well, then
fit.
All you have to do is take your dog out because he's going to really love you forever if
that's
you
right.
take
the
him out for a walk.
Best personal trainer.
Right. Absolutely. Take him out for a walk every day and that's all you
and
need
you're
to
away.
Do.
Oh, really?
Indeed.
Okay.
You just need to get your body moving. It's good for not only your circulation, but, you know, especially for us ladies, we need that weight-bearing exercise for our bones. Right. It is so important to prevent osteoporosis. Right. So all of that's important.
And a lot of times women always complain that if they were to exercise, especially doing weights, that they're going to bulk up and look like Rocky Balboa. But it's like physically impossible because a woman doesn't have the same levels of testosterone as what a man does. But, and I think the one extreme would be Madonna, but I mean, she really is working at like 4 hours a day with weights. But the average woman needs to pick up a couple of weights. I don't know what you'd suggest, about 2 kgs to 5 kgs?
Absolutely. You know, for me, things like yoga or things like Pilates, where you're actually using your own body weight, is phenomenal because there you're actually pushing whatever you might be, whether it's 55 k's or 60 k's, whatever, you're actually using your own resistance training, which is phenomenal.
A little bit more than 60. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm talking about ladies here.
Oh, ladies.
But it would definitely, I mean, you know, when my clients also say to me, oh, no, they can't do resistance training because they don't want to build muscle, I'm saying to them, on what planet? Because I would love to have definition like Madonna. I just don't have the 4 or 5 hours a day to actually work out with weights.
And you don't have the testosterone either.
No, I don't have the testosterone either.
Is that woman who's in the Terminator movie, Linda Hamilton?
Yes, do you remember her?
Yes, she as well. She, I think, almost created that myth, but I mean, she literally was working out 5 hours a day to put on that amount of muscle. But we're talking about the average woman in Johannesburg who can afford to go to gym for maybe 45 minutes, grab a couple of light weights.
Absolutely. A couple of dumbbells.
Water bottles or just the bottles of water. A kilo
walking.
And you're just walking with it, yeah.
Even if you're
that's
at home.
That's a great idea. Mm.
Actually, I always thought I was going to have this great idea called the baked bean diet or the baked bean workout, where I often used to tell friends of mine, don't go out and buy expensive equipment. To get yourself started, 2 tins of baked beans.
That's right.
It's more than enough.
That's
you just
right.
swing it, shake it, do whatever you've got to do. Barbara, I notice you have a lot to say on the subject, so I'm going to ask you, what exercise do you indulge in?
Every day, 20 minutes treadmill.
Oh.
With the water bottles.
Oh. Nice
without
one.
Without fail. So I do try.
Why that's treadmill, wonderful. By the way? I mean, these things are
beautiful. It's convenient,
place.
Yes.
Why not walk around the block?
Well, it's easier. You just switch on the treadmill and pace yourself. That's what I do every day.
I always find...
It's convenient, you know. If I just happen to have a treadmill in the house, that's fine. My whole family are treadmill...
Junkies,
yes, all
it's
of us.
It's a nice, healthier way of doing
it. It is healthy.
Do you like treadmills, Laura?
Yes, you know, the good thing with a treadmill is you can't use the weather as an excuse.
Exactly.
So you've got a treadmill, you can exercise.
Absolutely.
Have treadmill, will travel.
Will exercise.
Indeed. And if you take a look at the junk mail and how many of these people sell their second-hand equipment that eventually gathers dust and cobwebs and things like that. So we don't need to get a treadmill at the end of the day. If you've got one, that's great. But as you say, Edward, all you have to do is put on your shoes and go and walk outside.
Good walking shoes, I think, I should imagine.
I think, you know, you know why I always say just a pair of shoes? Because when you tell people good walking shoes, they assume they've got to go spend R1,000 buying a branded product. But I think everybody's got like soft canvas shoes, and I think just to get yourself moving
walking
in the right direction, and then you can actually start investing in buying bigger, better, more expensive products that actually are more appropriate for the exercise that you're doing. And exactly what Laura is mentioning now, the amount of treadmills that are gathering dust and available for sale online or in the junk mail, is also a sad indictment that often we start with the best of intentions, but we don't always follow through. And I'm exactly the same. It's like, I will teach yoga and Pilates the whole year. Come Christmas, those 3 weeks, despite the best of intentions, and I tell everybody, I am going to other people for yoga now. I don't do anything. I become a complete couch potato.
Well, you need a rest. You know, you have to give your body a break as well.
No, well, actually, that's my excuse. It's all about balance.
Absolutely.
But you do. And, you know, I've got one of these big balls in the bedroom. And it's a constant reminder for me when I don't get to gym is to actually do a few exercises on the ball. Some core stabilizations and things.
Yes. I've got the Pilates ball. I've got the rebound of the mini trampoline.
Yeah.
I've got those Ponga sticks that you're supposed to shake.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it sounds impressive.
And the Zumba and everything else.
But to be honest, I don't use any of it. My partner actually converted one of our rooms into a gym, which I thought was a very nice gesture. And it was a surprise. And I just said, I teach 20 hours of gym.
You don't want
to. Do I really want to come home and have to start working out again? So our gym has actually become a white elephant. But I also use as an excuse. And I tell people, I'm also human. People might see me teaching 20 hours of yoga every week, but at the same time, for me, it's consistency and discipline. Once you get into that routine, it continues. But then I also like to tell people, start. You can't use not starting as an excuse. You can only say, I didn't start, that's your excuse.
That's
but
right.
Once you get started, you find something that you enjoy, and if you enjoy it, you continue with it. Anyhow, enough about me. We are going to have to sign out very shortly. So we'll ask both you ladies, we'll put you both on the spot. What one life incident set you on the track to becoming healthier? And you've only got a minute to explain. And to be honest, I'll tell you the same afterwards while I think about it. You go first. Barbara.
I'm thinking.
Have you always been healthy, or did something?
Always been healthy. I went to a boarding school where they fed you stodge and rubbish, you know, that kind of thing. They really don't feed. And this is in the olden days. And once I left boarding school, I thought, this is it. It's
never
time
again
to start eating properly. And
actually, I'm exactly
it.
The same, because with us at boarding school, it was pasta every single day of my life.
Absolutely.
And in the mornings, it was porridge.
And
that is the one thing I cannot eat, is porridge.
Yes.
Porridge and
same
cereals went
too.
Out. So, I mean, for me, and I just vowed I would never eat pasta again.
Yeah.
I can never eat pasta if I go to a restaurant. I think, I'm not paying 40 rand to eat pasta. It's like, that's boarding school food to me.
It is
but
boarding school, you're
it
right.
It just forced me into the direction I wanted to eat crispy,
healthily,
crunchy fruits and vegetables and
absolutely
salads.
Absolutely.
End of story.
Absolutely. And walking and exercising and trying and drinking water, and I think
exactly
that's it.
And actually, those are small, simple little
small
steps
simple
that
things
everybody can actually manage on a daily basis.
Well, Edward, about 12 years ago, I had a serious paragliding accident where I broke my neck and I fractured my skull, and I was laid up for about 3 months. And fortunately, before that, I was an exercise junkie. And
you were an exercise junkie.
But that reinforced it, because I would have been a quadriplegic had it not been for the fact that I'd exercised all my life. Because my muscles in my back were so strong that they'd actually held everything in place. And for me, that was a big wake-up call, because I actually realized that we cannot do without exercise. It is so good on so many different levels. And at that time, when I was recuperating, that's when I started looking at different foods and combining different foods and vitamins and minerals. And that's where my passion really started flaring for these kind of alternative things.
You're very passionate, I've noticed, that when you talk about alternative therapies and also diet. You don't just talk it, but you get excited about it. I must actually agree with you on that note, Asa, because I've always had back problems, and I can't even think how long, and I don't want to go there either. But one day my chiropractor actually told me, so I've always gone to chiropractors for a lot, can't get the words out. I've been to chiropractors, Pilates instructors, physiotherapists. I've done the whole range. I've gone to alternative healers, acupuncture. And I've never been able to sort out my back problems, although I'm a yoga instructor and a Pilates instructor. So I am relatively flexible and I am relatively strong. And my chiropractor summed it up like this. He said, some people have diabetes, some people have heart disease, you have back problems. And he said, the only thing that you can actually do is to maintain your core strength. And he said, it is a bit odd that I would actually have back problems, but he said, the thing is, if I wasn't doing so much Pilates and yoga, it would be 10 times worse. So, and I've also been in a car and a motorbike accident, and they said the one thing that helped me recover faster was being so physically active. Mm. I remember when I had a motorbike accident, I was lying on my back and I was in so much pain in my neck and my arms, whatever, I couldn't twist or turn. But you know what I could do? I could literally pull myself off the, I think it's a crunch or a curl, it's a full on curl, literally peel myself off the mat into a 90 degree position. Wow. Mm. And they said, how do you do that? And I said, I do Pilates. And he said, but why can't you turn? I said, because my hands hurt and my neck hurt. Anyhow, enough about me and my health issues. We're talking about the weather when we began the show. Those are the two things we're not going to talk about, health and weather. We are going to say goodbye to our listeners. But if people want to get in touch with Barbara and also with Laura, your websites are?
www.voiceperfect.org.
And you're also, you specialize in doing corporate training.
Corporate training, communications. Communications, speech and drama.
So if a person wants a perfect voice, oh, that's a nice exercise. If a person wants a perfect voice, they need to contact voiceperfect.org. And Laura.
That's right. Thank you, Laura.
My website is www.allabouthealth.co.za.
Allabouthealth.co.za. Ladies, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I look forward to chatting to you again soon. If you want to get hold of me, it's at the word of Ed on Twitter. Otherwise, follow us on Facebook, The Food Cops, or Sound Bites with Edward Chamberlain Bell. I always forget my name. We hope you have a great weekend. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you.
Want to know what to eat, where to go, and who to know in Johannesburg and all around? Then join us on Soundbites every Saturday, brought to you by The Food Cops on Radio Today.